Good evening, Patriots. This is Praying Medic, and this is my QAnon broadcast for Saturday, December 28th. Welcome to the broadcast. Those of you who are following along at home, you can find Q posts on a number of different websites, including QAnon.pub, QMap.pub, and one of my new favorites, QAnon.news/Q. If you have an Android device, you'd like to get posts on your phone or tablet, QMap, QAlerts, and QDrops are still available. No apps currently available for iOS. My theme for this broadcast is Nancy Pelosi's Gambit. All right, this thread started on December 22nd. I had a lot to do over the Christmas holiday and been busy, hard, working on the first Q book. That's pretty much all I've been doing for the last 4 or 5 days. So I apologize for the lateness of getting this broadcast out, but here we go. Q has been busy today, so we'll get caught up. For many months, people have been trying to understand what Nancy Pelosi's endgame was regarding her strange moves related to the impeachment of President Trump. This broadcast is going to, I'll share some of my observations on what goal I believe her strategies and tactics are pointing to. Ever since Donald Trump was elected, the deep state has been on defense. No one expected Hillary to lose. That's the biggie. Q posted this back in, November of 2017. Why, hours after the election, did seven people travel to an undisclosed location to hold a very private and highly secure guarded meeting? Why didn't Hillary give a concession speech? When was the last time a presidential candidate didn't personally give a concession speech? So the night of the election, they all got shocked, they were stunned, and they had to start making plans. And I believe this private meeting was the beginning of their plans since they were on defense. what do you do when your plans go horribly wrong? Well, the deep state knew it could not reverse the outcome of the election, so it opted for Plan B. The Mueller investigation was created as a blockade to prevent Donald Trump from doing the things that he needed to do. Q has implied many times that the Mueller investigation was a blockade. It was designed to limit the president's ability to maneuver, designed to stall for time until the midterm elections in 2018. It was designed to terminate House ongoing investigations. And there's a lot of different reasons why they created the Mueller investigation. For all we know, they may still have had the Mueller investigation going on currently if the president had not found a way to stop the investigation. However, the president was able to get the Mueller investigation to come to a halt, and I believe that came when Bill Barr took over as Attorney General. Barr was able to impose his view of the obstruction of justice statute on Mueller's investigation, effectively bringing it to an end. So the president can't allow the Justice Department to begin arresting criminals in the deep state as long as he is under public suspicion of committing crimes himself. And the Mueller investigation, one of the goals of that investigation, was to make the public think that Trump was committing crimes. So when the Mueller blockade was removed and Trump was no longer under criminal suspicion, he could begin discussing the criminal activities of the deep state. Therefore, Nancy Pelosi's new plan would be to keep him under criminal suspicion. That would delay him from pursuing the prosecution of real criminals. So that for the next phase, Nancy Pelosi recruited Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Democrat members of Congress, to use their platforms to continually suggest that Trump is a lawless tyrant. That is what the impeachment hoax is about. It's a smear campaign. It is aimed at making Trump look evil, dishonest, and the media, of course, is quite compliant with that agenda. But the impeachment hoax has another objective. One of its objectives is to paralyze the Senate. Chuck Grassley is a smart guy. He knows that Pelosi's threat to withhold the articles of impeachment is intended to screw up the Senate's ability to schedule important meetings. In a tweet, he specifically mentioned the likelihood that the House, and Nancy Pelosi specifically, because she didn't get permission from the House to do this. She's doing a lot of this just unilaterally. She didn't ask for a House vote to go into the impeachment inquiry. She just decided they were going to do it. And now she unilaterally decided to withhold the articles of impeachment from the Senate. So Chuck Grassley pointed out that it looks like it's an attempt to mess with the schedule. Senate can't schedule anything with the Supreme Court. Justice Roberts would have to preside over an impeachment, and they can't schedule that as long as they don't know when the articles of impeachment are coming over. That also creates a lot of other problems. As long as Pelosi is withholding the articles of impeachment, the Senate can't schedule hearings. They can't schedule with the Supreme Court, Justice Roberts. Q posted this on the 22nd. Why are the two articles of impeachment being held by Pelosi? Will holding the articles actually impact the decision of the Senate? No. Will holding actually provide a better scenario, public opinion, for Dems? No. Will holding them actually sway elect senators to change their vote? No. When blackmail and threats no longer work, why are the two articles being held by Pelosi? What happens when the articles of impeachment are sent from the House to the Senate? Can the Senate conduct other business during that time? No. What value might exist by holding the articles? I believe the value is to delay all the business that the Senate needs to do. How long do Senate impeachment trials normally take? It can take months. What statements have been made regarding the timing? Think fast-tracking. Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, has been talking about either immediately dismissing the articles of impeachment after hearing the opening statements or fast-tracking it. What statements have been made by Chairman Graham regarding Senate FISA hearings and witnesses? Why is Pelosi holding the articles of impeachment? Right, so Q here is implying that this is all about messing with Lindsey Graham's hearings regarding FISA abuse and the witnesses he wants to call. Lindsey Graham said he wants to call Rod Rosenstein. He wants to call everybody who signed the FISA warrant for Carter Page. So we're going to listen to what Lindsey Graham had to say. Here's a video interview. Methods got queued for this video. So Q posted a link to that tweet. Why is Pelosi holding the two articles of impeachment? How do you introduce the truth about what happened to the public? That would be through Senate hearings. That would be televised. What value might exist by attempting to block public testimony and hearings? Would educating the public through the Senate prior to Barr, Durham, and Huber release be important? Narratives are created and pushed to prevent the public from discovering the truth, enemy of the people. So the Great Awakening is the awakening, the awareness of the public to the crimes of people in government. And I think what Pelosi is doing by withholding the articles of impeachment, she's trying to delay the Senate hearings through which the public would learn the truth. Most of the broadcast networks did not show the Senate Homeland Security, where Horowitz testified before that committee. There's only a very few networks that broadcast that. So as we get further and further into exposure of corruption through Senate hearings, I expect the mainstream media not to broadcast these hearings because they don't want people to know the truth. Woke Society got queued for this post. News broke today. This is a report that Admiral Rogers, former NSA director, is cooperating with Barr and Durham's investigation of Trump-Russia. Q had actually hinted at this back in July. Right, so Woke Society's got queued, and tweet by the president that Q posted a link to. Democrats and crooked Hillary paid for and provided a fake dossier with phony information gotten from foreign sources, pushed it up to corrupt media and dirty cops, and have now been caught. They spied on my campaign. They tried to cover it up, just like Watergate, but bigger. Q posted a link to those two tweets, Something big is coming. Do people really think this can happen with no consequences? FISA equals a start. Nobody is above the law. Not anymore, in brackets, Q. All right, Q posted a link to a tweet with Representative McCarthy. Let you listen to this.
Well, if you pause for one moment and you read this IG report by Horowitz, here's the FBI. They broke into President Trump at the time, candidate Trump's campaign, spied on him, and then they covered it up. It is a modern day Watergate. And you've got Democrats who aren't willing to even look into that. That is the area that we should be looking at. It's a modern day coup, the closest this country's ever came to. But the only way you can compare this to is Watergate. They broke into his campaign by bringing people into it. They have been trying to cover it up for the whole time. Now the question rises, just like Watergate. Who knew, when did they know it, and how high did this go up?
Q also posted a link to an interview with Ted Cruz and Maria Bartiromo, where Cruz talks about the FISAgate scandal. Let you listen to this.
Let me move on to really what was a blockbuster IG report. Yeah. What struck you most?
Well, the Inspector General report is a stunning indictment of the politicization of the Obama Department of Justice and the FBI. The Inspector General report details 17 specific serious misrepresentations DOJ and the FBI made to the FISA court. By the way, the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, was appointed by Barack Obama. And I'll give you the most stunning example the Inspector General uncovered. A senior lawyer at the FBI fabricated evidence. And here's what happened. So Carter Page is an outside advisor to the Trump campaign. He also is periodically talking to Russians, including some sketchy Russians. And so the FBI wants to get a wiretap on him. Now, an obvious question if you have someone talking to sketchy Russians is, well, are they working for the CIA? Because that's a very different inference. If someone's working for the CIA, then talking to sketchy Russians isn't that surprising.
Well, he's doing his job.
Right.
Yeah.
So the FBI sends an email to the CIA. Says, hey, is this guy a source for you? The CIA emails back, and they say, yes, he's a source. The FBI Assistant General Counsel takes that email, and he alters it. He types in the words. So CIA said, yes, he's a source. The FBI lawyer types in, no, he is not a source.
Unbelievable.
180 degrees, exactly opposite. He then sends that email on to the Department of Justice that uses that as the basis for a sworn statement to the FISA court to get a wiretap. By the way, the Inspector General report also talks about it. So let me just say,
that's unbelievable.
For the IG to have found this, you want to talk about good investigating. I mean, they dug through the original documents, and someone on the IG team noticed the original email from CIA, the forwarded email, and compared and said, wait a second, these words aren't in the first one. Tell you what the IG report says. When they questioned this assistant general counsel at the FBI, they said, hey, how did this email change? He initially denied it. He said, oh, I don't know how it changed, no idea. And then they pressed him, then he's like, yeah, okay, I changed it. That is on its face criminal conduct. If you or I did it in a car wreck case, if you got a car wreck and you were in court and you doctored fraudulent documents and submitted it to the court, you or I would serve jail time for that. That's senior leadership at the FBI. That's how badly they wanted to spy on Donald Trump and get Donald Trump. It is a horrifying abuse of power.
It's horrifying. Do you think people will go to jail?
Yes. I very much hope so. In this instance, this individual has been referred for criminal prosecution. I was encouraged by the statements that both Attorney General Bill Barr and U.S. Attorney John Durham put out, that they're continuing to investigate, that there's substantially more here. This was spying on the Republican nominee to be president. They sent in multiple confidential human sources wearing wires.
All before July 16, when they claimed the FBI counterintelligence investigation began.
And, you know, I used to be under George W. Bush. I was an associate deputy attorney general. I spent 5.5 years as solicitor general of Texas. I've spent a lot of time in law enforcement. I got to say, in any ordinary law enforcement, with any responsible leadership, if someone had come in and said, hey, let's wiretap and spy on Hillary Clinton,
right,
or Bill Clinton,
right,
or John Kerry, it's possible if there was a mountain of evidence and serious criminality that you would end up approving that. But you better believe you would cross every T and dot every I, and you would press and say, all right, what's the evidence for it? What's the basis? Because you know it would get checked. One of the things that's so offensive, It's clear these guys assumed Hillary would win, which would mean there'd be no accountability at all. They could get away with this because no one would check.
While the Trump investigation was going on, there was another investigation going on into Hillary Clinton's emails. Yep. 33,000 emails gone. She used bleach bit and a hammer to get rid of her devices. I mean, if that's not obstruction, I don't know what is. And it was the same person, Peter Strzok, who was running the FBI investigation into Trump and running the investigation into Hillary Clinton. And we haven't heard anything about HRC.
One of the worst legacies of the Obama administration is the corruption of law enforcement and the intelligence community. And by the way, the big unanswered question is how high up the chain did this go? We know that the deputy director of the FBI, McCabe, was read in and authorized this. We know the director of the FBI, James Comey, was read in and authorized this. Did the attorney general, did Loretta Lynch sign off on spying on the Trump campaign in the middle of the election? Did the national security advisor at the White House, did Barack Obama, did Joe Biden? I got to tell you, in most administrations, if you're launching an investigation on a major political figure like the Republican nominee for president, your opponent, they would be read in. Nobody's asking those questions about whether Barack Obama and Joe Biden personally signed off on spying on and surveilling their political opponents. Not a single Democrat in the House cares about the answer to any of this. It's beyond crickets. You cannot ask about abuse of power or investigation. That's wrong.
And yet here we are with the impeachment of Donald Trump. Senator, it's good to see you.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Senator Ted Cruz, we will be right back.
Q posted a meme. Haven't you figured out yet? It's not about Trump's corruption. It's about making sure you don't find out about their corruption. And that is what this is all about. They do not want the public to know about their own corruption. Next post by Q is a meme, Spygate. Never has a president left office to collude with others to impede the next sitting president of the United States of America until Obama. And Anon responded to Q, toying with the enemy, don't get smug. Q reposted this meme. Dan Scavino, who is, he manages the president's social media accounts. He posted a picture on his Twitter timeline this on the 22nd and said meme this. So people were posting memes on there. Apparently Q picked up one of the memes and posted it. When you finish typing, just sign it Q+. All right, for those of you who are listening in audio, it's a picture of Scavino and Trump at a computer. I strongly suspect Dan Scavino is on the team. It would be hard for Q and Trump to synchronize their tweets and posts if Scavino was not involved. All right, a link to a Breitbart article. A new study predicts that by 2022, 26 districts that currently have conservative representatives will be held by liberals due to increased immigration. Red state governors aren't helping when they increase refugee settlement numbers in their states. Doug Ducey, governor of Arizona, is one of the governors who is helping with legislation to increase refugee settlement, which of course is going to bring more potential Democrat voters. Q posted links to those two articles. Important to read and understand, why do Dems want to flood the U.S. with illegal immigrants? This is not another four-year election. Our democracy is at stake, power and control. Do not mistake this back channel tool, brackets, as a means to be complacent. Fight, fight, fight. Your voice and your vote matter. That's why I often give shout outs and tweet at my representatives like Andy Biggs and my governor, Doug Ducey, because I want people to know, I want them to know that we're observing and watching what they're doing. Why did the president fight so hard to have the citizenship question added to the 2020 census? This is an article, I believe, from June or July this year. Trump was not backing down in his effort to count citizens on the census. Q posted a link to that article. Why are Dems attempting to block the counting of illegal immigrants? 2 + 2 = 4. Use logic. What is the total number of illegal immigrants currently in the U.S.? It's a lot more than they want anyone to know. What is the real total number of illegal immigrants currently in the U.S.? By flooding the coastal states controlled by Dems, does this pull votes out of the heartland? At what point will your voice and your vote become null and void? 5x5, Q. 5x5 is an old, used way of saying loud and clear. You're testing radios. You are testing for radio signal strength and clarity. And on a 1 to 5 scale, 5 being the most, 5 for clarity, 5 for signal strength, means loud and clear. And a lot of people have been asking me about that lately, and that is the answer. Q uses that a lot. So, Jeff Van Drew spoke to Maria Bartiromo about the pressure that was put on him by the Democrat Party to fall in line regarding impeachment, which caused him to switch parties. Interesting interview. I don't want to include it in this because I could get hit with a copyright strike, but Van Drew basically said that there was a lot of pressure put on him to vote in favor of impeachment, even though he didn't feel like impeachment was warranted. And the pressure made him realize that the Democrats require you to walk in lockstep with them, or they will threaten you and make your life miserable. And that was reason enough for him to switch parties. So Q posted a link to that video and wrote, "Watch and listen carefully. Dems threaten and call independently elected officials to fall in line, follow orders in brackets, or face being ousted. Who controls the D party? Who really controls the D party? Threat, if a major political party can be controlled, in brackets, does that represent a clear and present danger to the United States of America? GS, in brackets, Q." GS, of course, refers to George Soros, who is the one who really controls the Democrat Party. All right, flashback. This is from November 11 of 2017, one of Q's early posts. Hard to swallow, important to progress. Who are the puppet masters, the people who control the politicians? House of Saud, 6++, 4 trillion. Rothschilds, 6+, 2 trillion. Soros, 6+, 1 trillion. Focus on the above three. Public wealth disclosures are false. Many governments of the world feed the eye. That comes through slush funds, war, environmental PACs, many different ways in which governments rip off taxpayers, but that money ends up in the pockets of these people who control the politicians. Q said, "We have a really special place picked out for George Soros. Really special." Yes. A lot of people think that it is the squad, AOC, Tlaib, who are in control of the Democrat Party. Even Sean Hannity says that Nancy Pelosi is speaker name only. Well, that's true, but it is not the squad that controls the Democrat Party. It is George Soros. They all take orders from him. At least they do for now. Devin Nunez thanked the anonymous people on Twitter whose research helped uncover Spygate corruption. He did a shout out on a video interview. Q posted a link to that, 5x5. Q just wanted us to know that that included Anons and those who do research. Anon said, "Let Mr. Nunez know he is very welcome. It gets very wild in here at times, but the real Q research gets done despite all the BS going on around us." And Q responded, "Keep up the good fight, Anons." Q meme here. It was hell out there, and we were surrounded. The shills came at us from all sides in a relentless attack. Myself and another Anon made this meme back in January of last year, an oldie but a goodie. Thanks, boss, you just made my day. So hat tip to the Anon who made the meme. All right. Chuck Woolery tweeted out, "America's newsroom is us. We have all become the alternative news media." That is correct. Woolery got cued. So a couple of thousand people hit his tweet. Always a good thing. This is an interesting article from Breitbart. If you're looking to do some research, check this out. The title of the article is "Soros-backed org feels deceptive timeline for the impeachment case." Turns out that a lot of the information that's coming out through the whistleblower, the so-called whistleblower, a lot of this information actually came through organizations that are backed by George Soros. George Soros is heavily involved in Ukraine. That he funds different organizations, including the Atlantic Council. The Atlantic Council is going to be wrapped up in all this Ukraine corruption. And it is interesting to me that a lot of Democrat politicians, Mitt Romney, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, all either their families or they are involved in dealings in Ukraine, and a lot of this corruption is being exposed. And it's all going to tie back to George Soros. All right. Michael Cowdery had a tweet here. Obama gave Pearson Publishing a government contract worth $350 million for their work to create the Common Core text for his administration's education initiative. And then a subsidiary of that same publisher, actually that's Penguin, gave Obama roughly $65 million for his book deal after he left office. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So Q posted a link to that tweet. U.S. taxpayer money goes to the federal government. Federal government, through people like the president, Barack Obama, Hussein in brackets, it goes to Pearson Publishing. Pearson Publishing then returns the favor, gives money back to people like Obama. What about Biden? Follow the money. Corruption, Q. And Q reposted a drop earlier that said, imagine what would happen if by law every U.S. congressman, congresswoman, U.S. senator, president, etc., was by U.S. law audited every 1 to 2 years by an independent agency. Imagine what would happen if those audits extended to all family members of such elected officials. Yeah, so what would happen if all elected officials were audited every 1 to 2 years and their family members to see if there's any kickbacks or bribery or money laundering going on? Would Dems continue to push for foreign aid to other countries instead of spending money in the homeland? Of course they wouldn't. Because the reason we spend all this money in foreign aid is that that money ends up getting funneled back into the pockets of the politicians who approved it. It's kind of how it works. All right. This right after Q posted a link to this tweet, this Anon HYVE posted resignation. Pearson's Publishing's CEO is retiring, and the company is going to sell the remaining shares of Penguin Random House Publishing. That's the subsidiary company that gave Barack Obama the $65 million book deal. So the CEO resigns after months of Q putting Pearson in the spotlight for the book deal that they did. Their CEO is gone. Nothing to see here. All right. Q posted a link to that. Do you believe in coincidences? All right. In 2017, Flatiron Books signed a two-book deal with Joe and Jill Biden. Flatiron Books is an interesting company. They're actually owned by Macmillan Publishing. They have done book deals with Oprah Winfrey. Oh, James Comey's A Higher Loyalty was published with them, and so is Melinda Gates' book, The Moment of Lift. So Flatiron was booked. Books is owned by Macmillan. Interestingly, Macmillan was briefly owned by Pearson Publishing in 1998. They were then sold to Holtzbrinck in 2001. Macmillan admitted to guilt in a fraudulent scheme involving bribery to procure a contract for an education project in southern Sudan. That was in 2010. And they were sanctioned for six years, basically. All right, moving along. And Anon wondered when the media will ask POTUS about Q. It's a post of a photo taken from Marine One, his president. And the Anon asked, when will they ask the question? There was some speculation that this photo was an original photo. Actually, it was posted by Dan Scavino in February of last year. Q responded, something big is coming, Q. And this something big seems to be related to when will the media ask the question. My suspicion is that because the media has refused to ask the question, I think Trump is going to make a unilateral decision to confirm Q, maybe at a press conference, maybe in front of Marine One, at one of these little pressers, I wouldn't be surprised if the president just lets everybody know, oh yeah, by the way, since you won't ask the question, yes, Q is legit, and Q is my military intelligence operation. That's just my hunch. I don't have any evidence to support that, but that is my suspicion. And we'll see what happens. And Anon posted this, God wins. Q reposted it. God does win. In November of 13th of this year, Q posted a link to a video about Nancy Pelosi and her son Paul and their involvement in Ukraine's energy sector. Let's see, on the, what is this? This was last night. The president retweeted a One America News video that used footage from that same video. And here's the retweet. Q posted the president's tweet and his November link as a reminder. There's the link to the tweet, and here's a link to the YouTube video that he posted in November. Q then wrote, they are fighting for their lives. Good people are in place, Q. So all this corruption is being exposed, and the corrupt people like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are desperate to maintain control. All right, and Anon, a little while later, posted this. Donald J. Trump retweets himself 2 hours later, driving home the point. Q then responded, post drop, 5x5, Q. So after Q reposted this video and the president's tweet, Trump then retweeted that video, but it's from a different account, but the same video. All right. Okay. The Heinrich 22 was cued for a video where Bill Barr asked, what was their agenda after the election that kept them pressing ahead after their case collapsed? Let you listen to this video.
But also, a few weeks ago, I told him that he should spend just as much attention on the post-election period. And I did that because of some of the stuff that Horowitz has uncovered, which to me is inexplicable.
Inexplicable.
Well, what I said is their case collapsed after the election, and they never told the court, and they kept on getting renewals on these applications. There was documents falsified in order to get these renewals. There was all kinds of withholding of information from the court. And the question really is, what was the agenda after the election that kept them pressing ahead after their case collapsed? This is the president of the United States.
And Bill Barr has a very good point. What was their agenda? After the FBI found nothing but information that would prove that Trump's people were not colluding with Russia, why did the FBI continue the investigation? So there is Q's post of that tweet. Oh, by the way, before Joe Biden's 2017 book deal with Macmillan Publishing, he also published a book called Promises to Keep in 2008, and that was a book deal with Penguin Random House, which is a subsidiary of Pearson. So just doing a little bit of digging on that. Here's a tweet by Dan Scavino, that picture from Marine One. All right, CNN seemed a little panicked that the president is tweeting Q accounts. Let you listen to this video.
And what's getting attention isn't just what the president is tweeting, it's who he's retweeting.
Yeah, and some of these aren't really even people. He's retweeted bots and fan accounts of the conspiracy group QAnon. CNN's chief media correspondent Brian Stelter joins us now. Brian, we're not going to show the tweets because we don't want to aid in the spread of that junk. But the president has been on a bit of a tear recently.
Worthy. But as you mentioned, Victor, you know, citing QAnon accounts, citing these conspiracy theories, it shows that the president's sources of information are sometimes very unreliable sources.
That video was posted by True Canuck 11. She got cued. Why are people panicking? Because, as Q said, people awake is their greatest fear, and people are waking up. All right, the deep state media is a little bit freaked out about reports that CIA Director Gina Haspel is involved in U.S. Attorney Durham's investigation of Spygate. This is an article published by Natasha Bertrand, and it just talks about concerns that Gina Haspel might be discussing John Brennan's role and other people's role in the CIA in Spygate. Q published a link posted a link to that tweet and wrote, Haspel was made director for a specific reason, right? So when President Trump was elected, he initially made Mike Pompeo CIA director for 1 year because he trusts Pompeo just about more than anyone else, and he had to have somebody in that position he could trust. Then Gina Haspel took over. She was actually the CIA station chief in Europe, and stationed in London, 2014 to 2017. Reasonably sure that they put her in that position because they trust her. So Q wrote, was Brennan tapped directly for support? This, I believe, is Spygate. Brennan class section division spy T, right? So Brennan ordered a classified operation to spy on the Trump campaign. If the CIA was running a black op to spy on Trump in the UK, would Haspel, station chief in London, be informed and instructed? Of course she would. Would MI6 know about it? Of course they would. What about the meetings with Durham? The only way to restore faith is through transparency and accountability. Q. So, yeah, the meetings with Durham and Barr in the UK, I believe, are all about them finding out what MI6 knew about Spygate, what the CIA's involvement was. Q reposted an old drop that was information on Gina Haspel, her history. Also, White House visitor logs where Obama, Brennan, Clapper, and Comey were all meeting regarding FISA surveillance. And I think a lot of that's going to be declassified, and we'll find out. So Q also posted a copy of Haspel's job summary, confirming that she was a CIA station chief in Europe, stationed in London, 2014 to 2017, geolocation, 2015, 2017, London. So until Q gives us any further information, I think we can trust Gina Haspel. Former NSA employee Bill Binney has pointed out that evidence of the file transfer from the Democratic National Committee server refutes the idea that there was a Russian hack of the server. This is something that Q is bringing up today.
Just to be absolutely clear with our audience, what you're saying is not just that the president didn't collude with Russia. You're calling into question the core allegation, which is that Russia is responsible for hacking in to the DNC's servers. Why would you call that into question, since every smart person in Washington knows that happened?
Well, okay, I give up. No. First of all, when this first came out last year, about a year ago, I started opposing that simply because of the way the intelligence community was talking, and knowing that the NSA, for example, has all the fiber optic taps across the United States and even around the world, plus trace route programs embedded in hundreds of places all over the network. So I knew they would know if packets were being passed around the U.S. or outside the U.S. or anywhere in the world, they could trace them and see who got them. I mean, they did that several years ago with the Chinese hack that came in that said it came from that building, I think, in Shanghai. Well, they could do the same thing with virtually any hack. So right away, I began to question that assertion that they were hacking into the DNC. Then we had a fellow who had access, it seems to me he had to have access to the network log of the DNC server, which means that any transactions going into and out of the DNC network log get registered or logged inside that log, and it goes into a list of what packets come in from what IPs and so on, and going back and forth.
Right.
So that to me said that from there he listed out the data, the raw data from the transactions in the log, which meant the time the transmission started, the time it ended, amounts of data passed, and any other identifying IPs are buried in those packets that were passed too, if the NSA would ever give them to you. But I think this is probably one of the reasons the DNC didn't let the FBI look at it, because it would show that at the rate, see, it was taken out at the rate of 1,976 megabytes. Or it was taking out
and you make the point that it was moved too fast. Right. So it couldn't have gone out over the internet. It had to have been taken directly in person from the computer, downloaded onto some sort of mobile storage device. So given that the NSA clearly doesn't have the evidence it would have if it happened, and that it couldn't have been hacked over the internet, then Why is everyone in government still pretending that's what happened? That's the confusing part to me.
Well, I guess it appears that many people are emotionally tied to this agenda to tie the Russians with President Trump and the Trump administration, one way or the other, they want to do it. So it's hard for them to give up that argument. I mean, it's like they're emotionally stuck with it. So, I mean, we in VIPS try to look at things just straightforward. What are the facts? Find the exact facts in the case, and then make a decision from that, not from other agendas driving us or anything that's motivating us to do or say things that we can't substantiate with facts. So, and that's the problem. You see, everything that's come out about this issue hasn't been backed up by facts at all. The only facts we've been able to
get. Well, I've noticed that. So let me just ask you one last question. Right. They're generalizations, and you're supposed to accept them and then be quiet and just sort of obediently nod. And, of course, the intel community says that it must be true. As someone who worked in that community for your entire adult life, are you struck by how all of a sudden people who know nothing about how it works are demanding that everyone else accept these assumptions that have no factual basis?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard to believe, but I guess they're applying the old sophistic rule from ancient Greece, you know, when they would say simply repeat the argument over and over again from many different directions by many different people, and eventually it gets believed. That's the exact philosophy that Adolf Hitler had. If you're going to tell a lie, tell it often until it gets believed. Make it a big one, too.
This idea about the Russia hacking the server has been pushed by the media for 3 years. Binney points out that if there was a hack, the NSA would know about it because they have an ability to trace break-in routes and foreign intercepts. So Q posted this regarding the DNC servers and CrowdStrike. Did Russia break into the DNC servers? Why did the FBI accept indirect evidence regarding the DNC servers, regarding the hack and the break-in that was reported by CrowdStrike, a Ukrainian company? The man who founded CrowdStrike is a Ukrainian. Why didn't the FBI directly investigate DNC servers? In hand, in brackets, the FBI did not ever interrogate the DNC servers. They took CrowdStrike's word for the report. Download speed, internal data, DL versus remote. One in brackets. So Q is pointing out, what do we know about the download speed of this so-called hack? Well, Benny pointed out that they know from records that the download speed was too fast to be done from a computer. It had to be done by a direct drive that was directly connected to the system. Link to a Real Clear Politics article with a video where Julian Assange confirmed to Sean Hannity that their source was not the Russian government and not a state actor.
Can you say to the American people unequivocally that you did not get this information about the DNC, John Podesta's emails? Can you tell the American people 1,000% you did not get it from Russia or anybody associated with Russia?
We can say, we have said repeatedly over the last 2 months that our source is not the Russian government and it is not a state party.
At the end of that, there is a one in brackets. Q asked, how does one provide content to WikiLeaks? Is it computer to computer or is it person to person? One in brackets. Personal comms in brackets secured prior to release. One in brackets. The sources, feeder, one in brackets. Recipient, one in brackets. Interning for the DNC can be deadly. That's a reference to Seth Rich, who is the intern who we believe leaked the information to WikiLeaks. Does CrowdStrike possess government capability to track break-in routes? Does CrowdStrike possess government capability to regarding foreign intercepts? No, but the NSA does. Possible to layer insert code, CrowdStrike in brackets, to designate intruder, intended target. NSA data bridge, DNC CrowdStrike, bulk data collection, matters of national security, highest level in brackets, FISA is only the beginning, hole is deep, Q. Q has previously suggested that when Assange gets to the States, he is going to provide evidence, source files, proving where this information came from, and that will debunk the Russia hacked the DNC theory. which was the beginning of Russiagate, really. Wherever a bracketed number one appeared in the above post, I believe that indicates a line of evidence proving the real source of the DNC file transfer. This is just my suspicion. As I looked at all these places where the one was in brackets, I just put them together. The download speed of the data, one in brackets. Assange's testimony, one. WikiLeaks accepts person-to-person transfers of information. I don't know if they accept computer-to-computer transfer. Personal comms secured prior to release. Source files will prove who the sender and recipients were. All right, and Anon posted this little meme with James Comey standing in the forest. Oh, Lordy. And a treason bomb is incoming. Future will prove past. And Q responded with a meme of Comey and Andrew McCabe in prison with their little books. And yes, the traitors are going to be in prison soon enough. Interesting to note, in that meme there, the treason meme with Comey in the woods, that was an old post from Q, bigger slam dunk charges coming, public understanding of events just around the corner. So that was Q's hint that don't worry about Comey not being charged for leaking his memos. He's got bigger problems coming. And the information is going to be coming out. Lindsey Graham's hearings, I think, are going to be very insightful. And Anon posted a quote from an article explaining why the DNC hack theory doesn't hold up under scrutiny. And there's a link to an article there. And just read this. The first decisive findings made public in the paper dated July 9 concerned the volume of the supposedly hacked material and what is called the transfer rate, which is the time that a remote hack would require. The metadata established several facts in this regard with granular precision. On the evening of July 5th, 2016, 1,976 megabytes of data were downloaded from the DNC server. That operation took 87 seconds. This yields a transfer rate of 22.7 megabytes per second. These statistics are matters of record and essential to disproving the hack theory. No internet service provider, such as a hacker, would have had access to use in mid-2016, was capable of downloading data at that speed. Compounding this contradiction, Guccifer claimed to have run his hack from Romania, which, for numerous reasons, technically called delivery overheads, would slow down the speed of a hack even further from the maximum achievable speeds. There's a link to an article there. So, USA Book Club was cued for a tweet, and it is about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And it is that Joe Biden's corrupt father, sorry, Hunter Biden's corrupt father, Joe, should be under criminal investigation too. Biden held back $1 billion until the Ukraine fired the prosecutor that was investigating his son's company, and then he lied about it. And of course, that famous video is there. One American News has about a 4-minute video on this. I'm not going to include it in here because I don't want to get a copyright strike, but it's worth checking out. Summary of it is, there is a suit in Arkansas where Hunter Biden is being basically sued for child support. His attorneys are saying that he doesn't have any money. So the court papers allege that Hunter Biden is connected to corruption and money laundering that he benefited from relating to Burisma Holdings, the Ukrainian company, and some money laundering through various banks in Europe. One American News, if you go on their YouTube channel, they've got these videos up that talk in great detail about these issues, especially the three-part video series that they did. I think they posted a couple weeks ago. If you want to know what was going on in Ukraine with the Bidens, One American News has been on top of this, and they are a good source of information. All right, Q posted a response to that tweet. Easy to understand? Let me get this straight. Biden blackmailed Ukraine with $1 billion in tax dollars to drop an investigation into his son. And Democrats want to impeach the president simply for asking if it was true. Well, yes, that is basically what happened. All right. The trend on Twitter today is 2019 in 5 words. My trend is the Great Awakening has begun. That is all for this broadcast. If you ever need more information on my videos or articles, you can check out my website, pragmatic.com. You can also check out my other website, which is the website for our ministry, pragmatic.org. We have articles and videos on there on hearing God's voice and healing and the supernatural. Thank you for sharing this video on social media. If you've enjoyed this video, you might want to subscribe to my account. Keep the president in prayer. Keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep Denise and I in prayer. And we will catch you next year.